Well, hello, Eco Heroes. At the time that I'm recording this podcast, I'm actually in the last 6 days of my self-sufficiency in the suburbs crowdfunding campaign. So yes, it is the 1st of June. I'm a smidge late getting this one out just because I've been a little bit tied up with my crowdfunding, and which I'm extremely excited about because we're back on the first page of Possible.com because we've had a heap of pledges in the last 24 hours, and we're almost at 46% pledged now with 6 days to go. So if you haven't yet checked it out, I'll pop the link below in the show notes for today, but head over to Possible. You've got 6 days left to show your support to help me get self-sufficiency in the suburbs out into the world. It's an all or nothing campaign. So if the funds aren't reached, I am honest, I won't be creating this project right now. I'll be putting it on hold to just work on some other things in my business. But if the support is there to get this project out in the world, and I believe this project is really needed in the world, yeah, I'll be throwing everything at it and getting it out there. But I do need your help to help me do that, because obviously pledging all this support and getting all your fabulous rewards right now helps me to fund the project and pay everyone I need to help me to get it out there. So check it out on possible.com. And I'll pop the link below as well. There are still a few spots left on self-sufficiency in the suburbs because one of the rewards is to actually buy lifetime access to the program for $197. So you'll never have to pay a cent again, and which is really exciting because when I do launch this in a few months' time, if the campaign goes ahead, it will be a membership program. So you'll pay a monthly fee or you can elect to pay an annual fee. And it will be more than that price as well. So this is the opportunity to grab it at a bargain price and never pay a cent again. But anyway, let's dive into today's podcast. Today we're going to be chatting all about sustainable eating and sustainable diets. I'll be covering this subject in a lot more detail in Self-Sufficiency in the Suburbs, in actually Module 2, which will be called Beyond Whole Foods. But for today, we're just going to chat about sustainable eating. So you may be trying to eat a healthy unprocessed diet and do the right thing for your body, but are you making the right choices when it comes to the environment? In today's podcast, I'll share some of my best tips on sustainable eating, including what I believe is the most sustainable diet. So let's dive in. Welcome to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started. Started on today's topic, I'd just like to remind you that I'm an environmental professional. I'm not a dietitian, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a nutritionist. So views in today's podcast, as I guess in all my podcasts, are mine alone and are backed by years of study and experience in the environmental science arena. It's important to note though that as a human race, we will not thrive in an environment that isn't healthy. And I believe that we often fail to realize that humans are an endangered species too. So keep that in mind when I'm chatting about everything in today's topic, that I'm coming from the viewpoint, from an environmentalist viewpoint. And that's what I am. So in a nutshell, what is a sustainable diet? So in a nutshell, a healthy sustainable diet is about producing nutritious food without degrading the environment. That's just how I like to term it. But according to the United Nations, it gets a little bit more complicated. They say that sustainable diets are those diets with low environmental impacts which contribute to food and nutrition security and to healthy life for present and future generations. They are protective and respectful of biodiversity and ecosystems. They're culturally acceptable, accessible, economically fair and affordable, nutritionally adequate, safe and healthy, while optimizing natural and human resources. Quite a mouthful, isn't it? I guess it's clear that, from this description that a sustainable diet is not just about optimum health for human beings. It's about eating a healthy, balanced diet that's in tune with the environment while still enabling the earth to easily provide for future generations. So, why is sustainable eating important? Now, you know that I don't shy away from the hard topics in this podcast, and just in general, I don't mind challenging the status quo, and I could talk about all the fun and exciting things of running an eco home, but it would be lost if I didn't talk about the why and the important reasons for doing some things. And the thing about environmental topics is that the reasons why aren't always fun, they aren't always nice, they aren't always things that we want to hear. And it's something that I do struggle a lot, I guess, in my business even, is just to try and promote things, and because people might think that you're getting on your high horse or you're being judgmental or, you know, you're looking down on everyone that's not doing this. But that's simply not the case. It's just a matter of just trying to change our awareness and let us all know the facts and the truths and the figures. And they're not always nice, but we need to know them in order to be able to do something about them. So on that note, why is sustainable eating important? Basically, it comes down to a population. It's a numbers game. And I guess in the world at the moment, there's so many people struggling to just eat a healthy diet alone. I guess the rates of obesity and diabetes, especially in the Western world, speak for themselves. So I get it. It can be hard to wrap your head around the concept of sustainable eating and its importance. I mean, some people might think, oh, it's just one extra thing I've got to think about. You know, I'm just struggling not to eat ice cream every day as it is. But with that, if I told you that the very survival of our species depends on us as a species changing the way we eat, what would you think about it then? I know it's a lot to swallow, but with the world's human population predicted to increase from its current level of 7.5 billion people to 10 billion people by 2050, it is one of the most inconvenient truths that needs to be addressed. Pretty quickly too. If you didn't already know, agriculture is the largest land use on the planet, and with more and more wilderness areas like rainforests being transformed into plantations, farms, or even just grazing land for livestock, we could very well be faced with the scenario of humans eating ourselves out of house and home within our lifetime. Put simply, we'll run out of space to grow the food we need to survive, and we will continue to witness massive losses of biodiversity as our impact on this planet increases with our growing population. Scientists have already identified that we're in the midst of the sixth extinction event. Unlike the other five mass extinction events that have occurred during the Earth's 3.5 billion year history, and that's including events like the ones that wiped out the dinosaurs, humans are the driving force behind the current event. But it's not just the changing land use and subsequent loss of biodiversity that accompanies a growing global human population. Intensive agricultural practices, together with synthetic fertilizers and pesticides, they degrade our soils and impact the health of workers in nearby communities. Livestock are the number one emitter of greenhouse gases and therefore contributors to climate change on the planet. There's also a growing reliance on genetically modified crops, and more than one third of our oceans are overfished. So if these are an example of the current environmental impacts of the diet that humans eat, what will the environmental impacts of our diet be like when our global population reaches 10 billion people and more? We can continue to eat ourselves out of house and home, or we can eat more sustainably and give current generations, yes, this will happen in our lifetime, and future generations the gift of a good quality of life. Look, I could continue to list the many and sometimes depressing reasons why we need to eat more sustainably, but I'm going to move on and give you some strategies that you can use right now to reduce the environmental impact of your diet, which leads perfectly onto the next point. So what is the most sustainable diet? This is a really heated question because food has a much greater significance in our lives than just nourishment. So our family, religious and cultural traditions tend to feature around food. You've only just got to think of Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas and Ramadan as examples. There are also several ways of eating or diets which claim to be the most sustainable diet. But if we need to change the way we eat for the health of our planet, which diet should we choose? Is it paleo? Is it organic? Vegan? Raw food? Mediterranean diet? Sugar-free? Vegetarian? Is it a whole foods diet? Is it a combination of these? Is it none of these? A sustainable diet firstly needs to be sustainable for you. There's no point in you eating vegan for 1 week or raw for a week or like having a juice diet for 4 weeks and then binging out on everything that you've deprived yourself of. What I'm saying is that perfection isn't sustainable. Also, one way of eating may suit you and it may not suit your best friend. So, for example, I was vegetarian for many, many years in my 20s, but I found that I needed to change my diet up to help me cope with the demands of pregnancy, breastfeeding and raising a young family in my 30s. So this involved me reintroducing some meat and some meat products like bone broths to maximize my intake of nutrients. But I was very selective of the type of meat I introduced and how I use it in my home. So what is the most sustainable diet? It's all of the ones I mentioned and it's none of the ones I mentioned. It's primarily an organic whole foods diet. But it's so much more than that because a whole foods diet where you eat unprocessed foods that have been shipped in from around the globe, think Himalayan rock salt from Pakistan, gelatin from Northern America, frozen berries from Chile, rapadura sugar from Sri Lanka, maple syrup from Canada. If you're shipping in all these things from all over the world, that's definitely not sustainable or environmentally friendly in the true sense of the term. The most sustainable diet is taking an extra step forward and going beyond whole foods. It's what I like to call being an ecotarian. So what is an ecotarian? An ecotarian is 1. Eating foods that are grown and produced locally, including foods that you've grown yourself or supporting farmers markets, the local growers in your region. It's eating fresh foods that are in season. You know, we're not meant to be eating blueberries all year round, unless of course blueberries grow in the area that you live all year round. 3, being an ecotarian is preserving, fermenting or drying foods to enjoy when they're out of season. 4, being an ecotarian is eating a diet rich in whole foods, that's foods that haven't been processed or been as processed as minimally as possible. It's also 5, avoiding packaged foods and drinks. And yes, drinks are part of our diet too. So I'm talking about bottled water or mineral water that's coming all the way over from Italy or whatever it can be, you know, buying even kombucha. It's so much easier and cheaper to make it yourself. And lastly, being an ecotarian is being super mindful of meal planning and loving your leftovers in order to eliminate food waste. And there's a really startling statistic in this country is that something like 25% of the food we buy is wasted. So imagine yourself going to the supermarket, grocery store, farmer's market, or wherever you buy your fresh produce, walking out with 4 bags of groceries and then deciding just to leave 1 at the counter that you've paid for. That's what we're doing week in and week out in this country. And if we're really wanting to get serious about eating sustainably and living sustainably, we need to get on top of our food waste. That's part of being an ecotarian as well. Now, I guess it's probably one of those general misconceptions that you have to go without when you lead an eco-friendly life. And I guess it transcribes through to if you eat a sustainable diet that you'll be going without. And, you know, obviously, if you love meat, then you have to give up meat. And you can't eat seafood and you can't have packaged food. You can't have chips and chocolates and all that sort of stuff. Well, the thing is that often you're not going without. You're actually gaining so much more and you're gaining it in health and you're eating better quality foods. And you're actually eating well. So it's not going without. My family actually eat like kings and queens. But the other thing is that you might think to eat a sustainable diet takes tons and tons of time. Now, obviously, it takes more time than getting takeaway delivered to your house every night. But it's actually not that time. So if you invest in a couple of tools, so I do a lot of batch cooking. So I've got a big freezer. I've got a slow cooker. I've got a thermal cooker as well. So things that I can be really time efficient in the kitchen and obviously batch cook and cook in bulk and freeze a lot and pull it out on those nights where I just don't have time to cook, we can still eat really well, good quality food and local organic whole foods. Eat really well in a sustainable way as well. So that's one seed I want to plant in your head too, that you don't have to go without and you don't have to work hard and it's not going to take a lot of time to eat this way. And I do have an extra bonus and I'm putting it out there for this week. So for everyone who pledges on my Self-Sufficiency in the Suburbs crowdfunding campaign this week, in addition to the reward that they choose, I'll be sending them a small selection of some of my favorite family ecotarian recipes in a nice little e-guide that they can use in their home kitchen. So these are meals that I feed my own family. So there'll be a couple of soups in there, a couple of main meals, a dessert, like a frittata, and some snack foods as well. So ecotarian, so predominantly local, or they might be smart with the way that they use. So there's obviously going to be, there might be a recipe in there that uses like one chicken for three meals kind of thing, stretching out some meat. There'll be a couple of vegetarian meals in there, a vegan recipe or two, and a couple of nice tasty dessert ones too, or treats. I might even put my orange and almond cupcakes in there. So they're gluten-free, dairy-free, and I love them because they use the entire orange, not just the flesh. So very eco-tarian. There's no waste at all in that recipe. So anyway, so I will be giving that as a special bonus to everyone who pledges on my campaign this week. So please, if self-sufficiency in the suburbs appeals to you and you're really keen to eat more of a self-sufficient diet, pledge this week and I'll shoot some of my favorite recipes to you that I haven't published anywhere else at this point in time. So they'll be in your hot little hands. All right. So the big question, or the elephant in the room, as I like to call it, where does meat fit into this picture? Well, there's no denying that meat has been an important component of the human diet since our caveman days. But does it still have a place in our diet of the future? Before you decide that for yourself, it's worthwhile considering some of the environmental issues around consuming meat, which include the fact that livestock production for human consumption is listed as the largest emitter of greenhouse gases on the planet, that intensive factory farm meat production uses a massive amount of grain crops, water and land, that 26% of the terrestrial land surface is used for grazing and up to 70% of this land is already considered to be degraded, and it is a meat, I'm talking seafood here, that one third of the world's fisheries are overfished and are seriously under threat. So for the world's population to grow from 7.5 billion to 10 billion people by 2050, we do need to change the way we eat, and the type of meat we eat and how frequently we eat it definitely needs to change. The cost of meat will gradually continue to rise and place pressure on households who eat a diet high in animal products. However, educating people about the impact of eating meat both on their health and the environment may be more effective in changing behaviour. So can eating meat actually be sustainable? Well, first of all, many vegans choose not to eat meat or meat products for animal welfare reasons alone, and that's warranted, especially in this day and age of factory farms and intense agriculture. But telling the world to stop eating meat isn't necessarily going to have the desired effect. My experience as an environmental educator is that most people just want to eat meat, which means the challenge is in changing how people eat meat. Now, I'm not saying not to give up meat. If you choose to give up meat, that's amazing. That's awesome. We need more people in the world to give up meat entirely, but just eating a lot less meat is probably the most realistic expectation we can have at this time being. I believe it's not necessarily about whether you do or don't choose to eat meat, although if the entire world ate a predominantly plant-based diet, it sure would solve many issues. But I believe it's about the type of meat you eat, how often you eat it, and how far you stretch it. So organically, ethically raised meat from a farm that uses regenerative farming practices that restore the soil is in a totally different ballpark to factory farm meat fed grains and corn that are grown in a separate area to where the animal is housed. So buying a smaller amount of meat that has been sustainably produced is a win for your health and a win for the environment, Of course, this meat will cost more, but your dollar will be going towards shaping the kind of world you want. Meat-free Mondays have gained in popularity in recent years as a result of organisations promoting people to reduce their consumption of meat. If you do eat meat, I encourage you to gradually challenge yourself to maybe having a meat Monday and a meat-free rest of the week. Or maybe just, rather than just one day a week when you go without meat, you know, having 2 days and then 3 days and then 4 days, just increasing them gradually over time so it's not a massive adjustment for you. Becoming more creative in the kitchen and moving from having meat being the centerpiece of a meal to having it added in smaller quantities will pay off in regards to the family budget, health and the environment too. So rather than having meat and three veggies every night, try having things like stir fries where you have like maybe 100 grams of meat in the entire stir fry as opposed to 100 or 200 grams of meat per person on a plate. So stir fries, casseroles, soups, frittatas, they're all super nutritious and healthy and much kinder to the environment than eating meat and three veg every night. If you're roasting anything, be sure to save the bones and make a tasty bone broth too. Or do what I do and save bones from casseroles too. Like organic chicken drumsticks are an economical way to feed the family and are much more affordable than organic chicken thighs or breasts. And after you've finished eating the chicken off the drumstick, the bone is awesome for making bone broth as well. I just keep a bag in my freezer where I add all the drumsticks and when they accumulate over time, I turn it into a big batch of bone broth. Although fish is recommended as a healthy diet option, in most of the world's fisheries, fish are being removed from their habitats faster than they're able to reproduce. And though not all species are overfished, the interconnected nature of the ocean's ecosystems means that the depletion of one species can affect many other species. So if you enjoy eating seafood, just try and keep it to a very occasional treat. Alright, so eating sustainably is quite possibly the biggest impact we can make to improve the condition of the global environment. Choosing to eat organic, local produce, taking steps to eliminate food waste, and reducing your meat consumption will make a significantly positive change to your health, your bank balance, and the state of the world. And please remember that the dollars you spend today shape the world of tomorrow, and everyone can make a difference. So I'm keen to hear what changes you intend to make to your diet to ensure that it's more sustainable. So flick me an email or tag me in social media. I'd love to hear from you. And yeah, just tell me what you're doing and what you intend to do to make your diet more sustainable. And I actually forgot to mention the freebie that I've got available for this episode. It's the same as a previous episode on Himalayan rock salt. It's all about 10 simple switches you can make in your kitchen to eco-fy your pantry. And you can get that at simpleswaps.lauratrotter.com. And of course, if you want ongoing support and would like to support me in getting self-sufficiency in the suburbs created and out into the world, you can head over to Pozible, that's pozible.com/project/self-sufficiency-in-the-suburbs to pledge your support for the crowdfunding campaign. There is just 6 days left, and I would love your support in getting this project out in the world and helping you to create a self-sufficient home in the suburbs. So thanks for tuning in. Have a great week and go out there and help make green mainstream. See ya. Thanks for listening to the EcoChat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofy Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.